Let's be seated. I just want to say thank you to Theo for the reading this morning. What courage! Do you have courage like Theo to be able to get up on Easter morning and to read the Easter story? I don't have courage like that. I never had courage like that when I was a child, when I was a teenager. It was really only after my baptism at the age of 21 that I had the courage to tell people about Jesus. Now, when you look at the Easter story, you see that there's this truth, this amazing truth, which transforms these disciples. And that truth is something that they have to speak out. But they weren't always like that, and that's what I want to show you this morning. If you think that the Easter story is easy to understand, it wasn't easy for the first disciples. In fact, when the woman went to tell them that Jesus had risen from the dead, they didn't believe it at first. So let's look at this truth that they came to believe. It was a truth about Jesus. Who is he? This is a question that Jesus asked the disciples, and Peter said, "You are the King, the promised King. You are the Son of God." And Jesus said, "Amazing, great answer, Peter." But then he went on to explain that he would go to Jerusalem and would be crucified, but in 3 days would rise again. And Peter took him to one side and gave him a real telling off, gave him a real row. He said, "No way, never, that's never going to happen to you." But the truth is that Jesus is God's promised King, that Jesus came from God. He's God's Son, and he came to die on the cross for us. Peter was wrong about that. He just couldn't understand it. And we know from the Easter story that Peter must have... What's it like to get a row from someone that really loves you? He got a row from his best friend. But then, because he hadn't answered that truth question in his mind, because he never understood why Jesus was saying he had to die on a cross, when it came to the crunch point, when he had to speak out and say, "Yes, Jesus is my friend. Yes, I believe in him," he denied him 3 times. And at that point, Jesus turned and looked at him. How that must have felt for Jesus to have looked at Peter and was so disappointed in that moment. What's it like for Jesus to look at us today, looking into our hearts, when we won't speak up for him, when we won't stand up and say that we're his friend? Jesus needed to die to be a sacrifice for our sins. But because Jesus was sinless, because he was innocent, death couldn't hold him. He came back from the dead on the 3rd day. And that is the amazing truth of Easter, is that when the woman went to the tomb, the stone was rolled away. The body was not there. And an angel told them, "He is not here. He is alive." You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Go and tell the disciples and Peter. How amazing is that? Go and tell the disciples and Peter. How must Peter have felt in that moment? He was mourning. He was crying. Did he ever stop crying all through the Saturday? That long 36 hours. He'd not spoken up when he should have spoken up. He bottled it. He said that he would even die for Jesus, but he couldn't even utter in his lips that he was a follower. He totally bottled it, and he felt so guilty. But there was an amazing thing that happened. was when they went back and they told Peter, although he was very skeptical, and you might be very skeptical this morning, but Peter had the good sense, even though he didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, he had the good sense to check it out. And maybe you're here this morning and you don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. You think it's quite ridiculous. But do you have the good sense to check it out? Francis Collins, the great scientist, he was told by a woman who was dying of cancer, she said, "I know where I'm going, doctor. I have hope. Do you believe?" And he says, "No, I don't believe." And as he was walking out of the hospital ward, he said, "I'm a scientist. I'm supposed to make decisions on the basis of evidence. And I have never even checked out Christianity." And he checked it out and he became a Christian. Have you checked it out? Well, Peter went to check it out, and he went into the tomb, and he saw these grave clothes. But there was no body. It was kind of so mysterious. And then the bit where the headpiece was separate. And John understood. John believed. Peter was still really struggling with this. But, you know, there was all this eyewitness testimony. And if you want to know if something's true, you need to go and speak to the eyewitnesses. Do you know that there was 10 times that Jesus appeared over 40 days physically? He wasn't a ghost. He said, "Touch me. Here are the scars. See where the nails were. See where the spear went into my side. Let's have breakfast." Amazing. Physically resurrected from the dead. I did a Scripture Union camp in the northeast of England, and I was talking about the resurrection, and this little Geordie boy got up and he says, "No! If you're dead, you're dead." I said, well, at least he was listening. If you're dead, you're dead. But he's not dead. He's alive. And Peter was there. He was fishing. And Jesus said, "Cast your net to the other side of the boat." And they had this huge haul of fish. And John said, "It's the Lord." And Peter just jumped into the water and he came rushing forward. And they had that wonderful conversation. But Peter just knew in that moment that he was not only forgiven, he was totally restored. Do you know that failures make great followers? And failures who make great followers become great fishermen. Because there's something that people just cannot stand. It's Christians who claim that they're better than anyone else, who they're superior, kind of looking down and saying, "I'm better than you, and you need to become a Christian so you can be a good person like me." That wasn't how Peter witnessed. Peter witnessed by saying, "I failed. I failed big time. I was the number one." And the Apostle Paul was like that. He said, "I'm the chief of sinners." Failures make great followers, and followers make great fishermen. Because they can remember transformation. Christianity is like a great joke. It's a joke. It's a joke that I'm a Christian. It's a joke that I've been chosen. Isn't it? If you don't think that Christianity is like, it doesn't make sense that God would choose me. Are you having a laugh? Are you having a laugh that God would choose me? Why would he pick me? That's what the first disciples were like. That's what the Apostle Paul was like. Are you having a laugh? I was the guy that was persecuting the Christians. Are you having a laugh? That's called grace. And that is witness, humble witness, through someone who knows they're a sinner and knows they've been transformed by grace. Because this Jesus has come back to life. And that changes everything. The wages of sin is death. The curse on humanity fell upon Jesus. He took the judgment in our place. But because he was sinless, death could not hold him. He came back from the dead. And he promises forgiveness and eternal life. You know, the greatest evidence for the resurrection, according to John Stott — who's John Stott? He's a very great preacher from the last century. I like the old guys. I listen to the old guys. John Stott. The greatest evidence for the resurrection is the transformation in the disciples. Think about it for a minute. Think about Peter, how he went from there to there. Can you explain it? Can you explain how these dejected, grief-stricken, disillusioned followers of Jesus suddenly were able to boldly proclaim and risk their lives? Most of them were killed for this truth. Why would you give up your life for something that wasn't true? They went from unbelief to belief. They went from doubting to worshiping. These were Jewish men. What is the worst thing a Jewish person can do? What's the first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. What were they doing on the resurrection appearances? They were bowing down and worshiping a man, the man Christ Jesus. Why were they worshiping him? Because they came to believe he was God. The answer to the question, who is Jesus? Now they're looking at the answer to that question through the lens of crucifixion and resurrection. They went from doubting to worshiping. They went from grief to joy. Jesus said, in a little while you won't see me, and then you'll see me again. Your grief will be turned to joy. Amazing. Amazing. From fearful to fearless. Because he lives, we have hope. Let's sing together. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.